Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today I warn you, beware the Franken car. Beware the Franken car. In 27 years of practicing law, I've seen all kinds of crazy stuff. And back in the old days, we could sue businesses that rip people off a little bit easier than you can now, because there's a law called the Consumer Protection Act that allowed you to go after anybody that ripped you off where you didn't get the benefit of the bargain and they were a merchant. So, you know, if you had a case that wasn't quite a lemon law claim, but you might have a Consumer Protection Act claim. So a guy came into my office one day, and him and his wife had bought a car, a little sporty thing. You know, it wasn't that expensive, but to them it was. And after they bought this car used at a pretty reputable dealership in Oakland County, Michigan, they were walking out of the car one day, and they went to open the door up, and the driver's side door wouldn't open. So they go to open up the passenger side door, and that wouldn't open either. And they quickly realized that if you looked at the car just right, you'd notice that the car was kind of bending at the firewall. And the firewall, for those of you who don't know, is the designation of this spot right here, that if you pop the hood and look behind the engine, there is a wall there called the firewall. And of course, if you're inside the car, there's a dashboard, and behind the dashboard is the firewall. That's between you and the engine compartment. And in this particular case, somebody had gone into a junkyard, apparently, and seen that, hey, there's a car that's got a wrecked front end and the identical car with a wrecked rear end. And if we took that half of a car and that half of a car, you'd have two halves that equal one car. And of course, to do that, you have to saw the cars in half. And then you take the two halves and stick them together. And much like Frankenstein's monster, you now have something that looks kind of like a car, but not quite. So here's the real problem, and that is that a lot of people don't know this, and again, I apologize, the car guys in the audience will know this, but most people think about a frame being underneath a car, but many modern cars don't have frames. In fact, they're going away, and they've been going away since about the 1960s when unibodies came in. And so to think about this is that back in the old days when they build a car, they'd build, you know, a frame that would have, you know, the bars that run this way and the bars that run this way, and everything you put on that frame or attached to that frame, and there'd be body on frame. They actually refer to that as a body on frame construction. And so what they decided to do in later years to save money is to do what's called unibody construction. And that is where the body of the car itself is structural. And so if you tear apart one of these cars that has no frame, you'll discover that there's basically just the body itself is designed to be the structural unit of the car. And so a unibody construction car has no frame. And so if you take the car in the old days with the frame and saw it in half, you'd have to saw the frame in half too, right? And you could probably reconnect the frame somehow, but you'd never trust it again, right? Well, if you take a unibody car, it has no frame, and saw it in half, you have sawed the frame in half because there's no frame. So you take that car, and in the case of my client's car, it had been sawed in half right at the firewall. So when the car was welded together, however they patched it together, and it was, you know, when they first did it, it looked okay. And if you didn't spot the welds and the other stuff holding it together, the bubble gum and glue, it looked like a decent car. But of course, the problem is that over time, the body was flexing because the body itself is the structure of the car. And so as it flexed, it eventually caused some of that to come undone. And when the car shifted, the doors would no longer open, which is a problem. But of course, it's indicative of a deeper and more severe problem. And that is that this car is going to break in half one of these days going down the road. So we sued the dealership. Dealership sued the people they got the car from. We got the bottom of this. And it turned out to be that, you know, some guy who was walking through a junkyard one day basically said, hey, half of that plus half of that equals one car. And then he put it together and he sold it to the dealership and traded it in without disclosing to them. And then, of course, it got sold to my client with a bunch of other, you know, puffery that indicated there's nothing wrong with this two-owner car. And this, of course, is before Carfax or any of those things were even in existence. So, like I said, old school. But the idea of these Franken cars is they pop up from time to time. Now, they often make the news because they're so unusual in that it's, you know, you don't hear about them every single day. And they're scary weird because, again, logically, it would make sense. You'd say, well, why not take half that car and half that car and save a car? And again, you know, it's the kind of thing where if you want to do that and risk your own life driving that car down the road, knock yourself out. But somebody in this particular case of my client had done this. And when I saw the car and we popped the hood and you could see where the welds and whatever else is holding this thing together were done, and somebody had done a lot of work on this and then spray painted, I'm guessing like black Rust-Oleum or something over it, And so when the car was first done and traded in like that, my client told me, he said, because I popped the hood. Because I popped the hood to check the oil, the transmission fluid, things like that, you know. And that's the thing I always tell people, is I say, you know, you should hire someone to inspect your vehicles for you when you're going to buy a used vehicle, unless you really know what you're doing. And I have people say, well, Steve, I know how, I can spot stuff like this. And the funny thing is, you're probably not going to be looking for stuff like that, the Franken car. And, you know, I may have told the story before. I was used car shopping back when I was in college. And I've got an older brother who does body work on cars, did a lot of it back in the day. And I was looking at a used car, and he came out and he walked around. He goes, well, they did the accident repair pretty well, but other than that, I think it's a decent car. They go, what accident repair? And he started pointing out stuff to me that once he pointed it out to me, I'm like, oh, you're right. And to give you an example, that somebody, you know, the car had power windows, electric windows. And if you popped the door open on one side and looked at the wiring, it didn't match the wiring on the other side. They'd done a very good job of fixing the wiring, but it was not the same. And once you looked at it, you're like, oh, that's been repaired. And it turns out there's also some repair done to the front right fender near the door. That's why they had to pull the door off, you know. And my brother spotted that from like 20 feet away. Not the door wiring, but the rest of it. And so people who know what to look for spot stuff that people like you and I might miss. Because, I mean, I know a bit about cars, but I wouldn't consider myself to be anywhere on par with a guy who does body work or a mechanic. So, you know, my client who bought the Franken car, if he'd brought anybody out who knew anything about cars, they would have walked up and said, dude, this thing's two cars, you know, sawed in half and stuck together, you know, like Frankenstein's monster. That didn't work out very well, you know. And nowadays, that's especially scary, like I said, because the car's got a unibody. And to have the whole thing sawed in half and put back together again, it's not going to have the structural integrity that you need. And this is reminiscent in many respects of cloned automobiles. And I've represented somebody before who bought a cloned vehicle that was stolen. And in that case, what had happened was somebody's walking through a junkyard and they saw a totaled, late model, monstrous SUV. And so they got the VIN off of it. And I don't know if they got the title or how they did this, but they basically got the VIN off the vehicle. And then they went and stole a matching vehicle that was not wrecked. And they put the VIN of the wrecked vehicle underneath the window of the non-wrecked vehicle. And then did some magic with the paperwork and then traded that in and got a bunch of money from a car dealership. And so the car dealership then sells a car to my client. And my client wakes up one morning to a knock from the Michigan State Police who said, yeah, you've got a stolen vehicle sitting in your driveway. We're now going to repossess it or take possession of it and give it back to its rightful owner. And my client said, I can prove to you I bought that car. And I said, yeah, and we can prove to you it's stolen. And my client said, how do you do that? Because I have a title that shows the VIN. They said, that VIN on the dash is wrong because there's VINs stamped elsewhere on this car. And those are the correct VINs. The one on the dashboard is incorrect. You probably didn't check the other ones, did you? My client said, no, I didn't. And so getting back to the Franken car, somebody could have probably checked the VIN, and a car of that nature, and back in that day, probably has a VIN stamped three or four places on it, including the obvious one on the dash, which is going to be the correct one, and then probably also someplace underneath on the unibody structure beneath the car, possibly one on one of the fenders inside where you pop the hood, and possibly one out back someplace. And so if somebody had actually gone and looked at the VINs, they probably could have very quickly found out, oh, it actually is two different vehicles because the VINs on this side of the Mason-Dixon line match one car, and the VINs on this side match another. And I'd be curious to know what would happen if you ran the Carfax nowadays on those two VINs, because they'd come up and go, oh, accident, you know, wrecked, totaled, you know. But back then, Carfax and the like were not in existence yet. So when you're car shopping, used cars, and it's one of those things, and again, I admit, it's not going to be something you have to watch out for every single day. But most of us don't car shop every single day. And so, you know, if you're going to go out and used car shop and you do this once every couple of years, you should kind of go through the mental checklist of things you should look for. And the obvious stuff is painfully obvious. You know, get underneath the car, look for leaks, right? Check the oil, you know, check the radiator fluid, check to make sure the AC works, check to make sure the stereo works, whatever, you know, check these things. But you should also step back and take the bigger picture look and just make sure everything looks right. And I've mentioned before, you know, a guy I worked with at a gas station one day pulls into the parking lot with the car he had just bought. And as we were walking towards it, we're like, hey, this thing's been in an accident. Look, it's bent. I mean, stuff like that. And what's funny is the guy told me that he'd walked around the car, taken it for a test drive, he never just stepped back and looked at it to realize, hey, there's something wrong with the way that that front wheel sits in the front, you know, underneath the front fender. There's a problem there. So the big picture stuff, you know, you can actually be so focused on the little stuff, you're missing the big stuff. You know, car's been sawed in half. Hey, but the dipstick looks clean. So that's the story of the Franken car. And because it was filed back in the old days, we actually did get a good result for my client. Nowadays, someone calls me with a case like that, and I have to say, well, you know, it's unfortunate. If you bought the car from the person who did the Frankenstein work, and you can prove that they defrauded you or misrepresented the car to you, you might have a cause of action against them, but, you know, how are you going to pay for your attorney fees? Because your attorney fees are going to come out of your own pocket, which is a bad proposition if you think about it. So that's a concern, but obviously, if someone does, in fact, saw two cars in half, glue them together, and sell them to you without disclosing that fact, in most places, that would be common law fraud or common law misrepresentation if they didn't disclose that to you. It's just a question of whether or not it's worth pursuing. So that's, my friends, is why you want to beware of the Franken car. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.